There were two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they'd come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals. One on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself. If he's the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." As we survey Calvary through the reading of Scripture this Good Friday, we notice not just one cross, but three crosses on that hillside. The cross of Christ takes center position, for it was where sin and self and sickness and all that pertains to death was defeated through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Christ's death, God's salvation plan for all humanity, free to any that would choose to put their trust in him. Then there's the two criminals occupying the two other crosses, one hanging on either side of the Saviour, representing two very different choices. But both were guilty of death as they hung beside him on the brink of eternity. They were both about to make the most important decision of their entire lives. What would they do with the Son of God before them? Well, the first response, as we read, was one of blasphemy and mockery. This criminal was unbelieving and unrepentant to the last. He saw Christ at best as a way of saving himself, his sinful life and his rebellious existence apart from God. Even unto death, he rejected the only one who could save him. Then there was the second response, quite the opposite, one of reverence and respect. This one saw Christ, the righteousness of God, and in that light accepted his own condemnation. And silencing the other voices of mockery, he found it within his heart to pray the simplest prayer of faith. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Firstly, Lord, you are sovereign King over my life. And then this petition, remember me. Remember me. Not just don't forget about me, but remember me. Put my members back together again rightly. These members that have been torn apart by sin, remember me, put me back together again aright. Then this word of confidence, not if, but when. There's the cry of faith, isn't it? When you come into your kingdom, for surely you are a king, and your kingdom awaits you. What a wonderful response to Christ. And then there's the response, the immediate and sure promise of salvation. Jesus replies, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. You see, the promise of God of salvation is certain, assuredly. The promise of God's salvation is immediate, today. The promise of God's salvation is personal, you. The promise of God's salvation is with Christ in God. You will be with me in paradise. And this is what salvation is to be with God. One with Christ in God, eternally in the paradise of God. How wonderful. Well, I wonder what our response is today. Or have we only ever come to the cross once? I wonder what our response is with these criminals. All humanity is under the same condemnation of sin leading to eternal death. And as we survey the cross of Christ this day and all that it speaks of, let our heart's cry be that of godly fear, true repentance and faith in Christ. Even unto death. Even unto the death of myself, the death of my sin, the death of my folly, the death of my gossip, the death of my criticisms, the death of all that pertains to death and sin in me. O Lord, apply that cross to each and every one of our hearts, that we might ever live together with Christ in the paradise of God. It's a paradise that we can experience today as we embrace the cross of Christ. It's the paradise that we will experience for all eternity. It's not just for out there. It's a paradise of union with Christ in the heart today. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we remember with reverence and humility of heart your sacrificial love today. Love that continues to shine light into the darkness of this fallen world. Love that fills the emptiness and void. Love that ministers hope in devastation. Love that speaks truth in the face of incrimination. Love that forgives instead of punishes. Love that liberates from the bondages of sin and death. Love that has saved us. Love that is saving us, and love that will save us continually into this deeper relationship with yourself. Oh Lord Jesus, our hearts are full of love and adoration for you, our Lord, our Saviour, and our God. Amen. We're due to continue our walk on to St Dunstan's, but I've got you for 5 more minutes. And I want to share just a little something that's burning on my heart this Easter time. And it's just this little phrase. It's found in John's Gospel, this great Gospel of love. And it shows something of the character of God towards us. And I want each and every one of us to take this to heart today. Having loved his own, familiar scripture, a few just lifted up their heads. Having loved his own, the first thing as the clock ticks, did you know you're bought with a price? He loves you, you're his own. My own are just there. You are God's own. And having loved his own, he didn't just love them a little bit. He loved them all the way to the end. To the end of doubting Thomas's doubts, to the end of Peter's denial, to the end, right to the very end, having loved his own, he loved them to the end, even unto death, laid his life down. And I want to tell you this today, Jesus loves you right to the end. He loves you to the end of your sinful thoughts. He loves you to the end of your gossips. He loves you to the end of your self-life, right to the very end. And you know where the end is, don't you? Where the end is and where the beginning really starts. It's what we gather round today. It's what it's all been about so far today, the cross. The end of myself. And if I lay myself there with him upon that cross, so I will rise with him. Eternity in my heart, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And then I just want to put a challenge to you. After knowing that you are loved and you are chosen and you are precious and you are his own, and knowing that he's loved you to the very end, I want to put a challenge to you. Will you love him to the end? Will you love him to the end of yourself? Will you love him to the end of your sin? To the end of your life? To the end of the trial? To the end of the difficulties and the heartaches and the pain and the struggles? For this is love reciprocated. The love of God as it flows from God through Calvary and then back through you to God. This is resurrection life. This is love. This is unity with God. It's not found apart from this cross. And thank goodness we call this day Good Friday. For this cross is all good. Amen.